This week in occupied Palestine, the Israeli occupation forces have continued their policy of random killings, shooting at houses, shelling from tanks, imposing roadblocks, checkpoints, restricting the freedom of movement, the freedom of transport of goods, and have also continued their massive roundup of Palestinian people in midnight snatches and daylight hour invasions. Just today in Jenin, the Israeli occupation forces are continuing to invade and killed one man and opened fire on citizens throughout Jenin and took several other people to unknown locations. Last night in Nablus, a similar scenario unfolded, and the Israeli occupation forces not only broke into several houses and took people away to unknown locations, but also detained people who were praying in the mosque for the 8 o'clock prayer. They kept them in the mosque until early this morning. If anybody tried to leave the mosque, they opened fire on them. Last night in the northern Gaza Strip, the Israeli occupation forces continued to invade an area that is already beyond devastated, an area that's been under heavy attack for the last year at least. And they killed another man there last night and injured five people. During a protest yesterday against the apartheid wall being constructed inside of the West Bank, Israelis opened fire on farmers, as they have been doing for 3 days in a row now. Back to Nablus, Israeli occupation forces yesterday blew up a car and tried to take the people driving the car to unknown locations, but fortunately they were able to get away. Also, the Israeli military invaded Bethlehem, not only the city and surrounding villages, but also Daisha refugee camp, opened fire on residents and took three people to unknown locations from the camp alone, and five in the night from the Bethlehem area. These are the sorts of things that have been going on where the Israeli occupation forces feel that they can move at will, taking people to their prisons and holding them without charge or trial as political prisoners. At the same time, we're still listening to the negotiations that are going on between the Egyptians, the Israelis, the Americans, the British, and now the Jordanians. The crucial player that gets left out on this are the Palestinian people, who have very little voice in or very little say in the decision-making process about what's going to go on in their lives. This is part of the general campaign of the Israeli occupation forces to ensure that Palestinians lack any sort of sovereignty or any sort of ability to enjoy freedom of thought, freedom of movement, or freedom of life. Today in occupied Palestine, we're talking to a 31-year-old Palestinian citizen about the situation here. Welcome to the show, and why don't we just start by asking you, how is the situation for you right now?
The situation is getting so bad and worse day by day. I guess they're talking about delegations, about solutions, but you can't ask me to give you peace during your, in the same time you are putting your pistol on my head. Israel is just, Israel's political leaders just keep asking U.S. government to support them in the Mabod or this solution or that solution by helping their servants, who is Egyptian government and the Jordanian government, to force Arafat and the Palestinian leaders to just do as this solution or that. But I guess an allegation as a Palestinian refugee also, my family just came from Haifa in 1948. I say that any solution, any delegations, anything must start from the decision of UN, which is 242. So any solution which is like roadmap or the 3 points, which is the head of the intelligence of Egypt, Amr Suleiman, just came to Arafat and give it to him. It's not my dream as a Palestinian who lives, Palestinian refugee lives in Palestine, another part of Palestine, under this occupation, under all of this damages they do for us, under all of this kills. So I think that there will no peace if they will not give us our right to start start to build our government, our country, our future, like the others, like the U.S. people who live in their free country, like any other nations in this world.
So when we were talking earlier about the roadmap, about UN resolutions, and about international law, all things that have been negotiated in the past, all rights that were given to Palestinians by the UN as the governing body of the world at large, we've seen all of these things be denounced. We've seen all of these things not implemented. No UN resolutions against the State of Israel or for the Palestinian people have been implemented. We went through negotiations again under Oslo, and now again in Camp David, and again now through this roadmap. What is it that is being left out of this, out of these negotiations? Is it that the people are not acknowledging the fact that all of these things have previously been negotiated, but these rights were already rights that are given to the Palestinians but have not actually been implemented? Is this one of the problems? Can you speak to that?
Okay, let's talk about the people and their knowledge. I think that people of Palestine, now they are not thinking about any of the political things, about any solution. They are just looking about how to move between city and city and other city. It's Palestinian cities, but there's checkpoints, there's wall between the city and the own villages for the city. You can't move in freeway, okay? And let's talk about the situation, the financial situation for the people. There is a lot of people just live in their homes without food. If they work that day, they will eat. They didn't work, there is no food. And there is a lot of families. They are just faced two different things. Or you just feed your kids or just educate them. So if you want to work, you just can do one of those two things. Those two things is hard. Both of them must be, the normal right for the human. Okay, that's the normal right for me, just to eat and to get my education in free and without charge also. Okay, let's talk about the people who just feed their kids without educating them. This is what people are thinking about. And I guess this intifada just put us in that position to stop thinking about our future, about our political future, about our democracy country we dream about it all the time. The people just start to think about how to start work under any condition and to be free about under any condition. So even so, if the mad road will give them this right, they will accept it. But in the future, they will be disappointed from it. And I guess it will start all over again, new intifada, with a new style, with the new techniques, with everything.
So this intifada has not been viewed as being very successful for the people, and it doesn't have widespread participation. The Israelis would like us to think that every Palestinian is involved in armed resistance. This is what they sell the world with, this idea that they are taking people in the middle of the night to prisons, and they want the world to think that it's because they're involved in some sort of armed resistance, ignoring the fact that under international law, it is perfectly legal for any people to defend themselves against military invasion. Regardless of that fact, a fact that people seem to ignore or not want to acknowledge, the Israelis sell these massive roundups of people, this massive political imprisonment of people simply by political affiliation, and they want the world to think that therefore these people are engaging in armed resistance. We know that only 2% of the Palestinian population have engaged in armed resistance, have participated in this intifada. For an intifada to be an uprising, the people trying to throw off the chains of the oppressor, for the people that are trying to stand up for their rights and stand up for themselves and for their community, to see only 2% participation is very sad. In the first intifada, we saw widespread participation in it, and it looked very different. this one after Oslo, after the people got beat down even further and realized that they got nothing through the political process, that they ended up with even less after Oslo than they had before. Many people are so disengaged that they don't do anything anymore. They don't even go to demonstrations. They don't even have the energy to pay attention to what's going on politically anymore. This intifada looks very different from the first one. Do you want to talk about your views on this intifada?
Okay, let's start about talking about the first intifada that started in 1987. That intifada was just pure intifada, just created from inside the people here. Everybody was supporting this intifada. That intifada was the beginning of people movement, and in that time we wasn't able just to steal guns, let's say, from the military Israeli camps, to buy guns from the Israeli military camps, even so to deal with the Israeli mafia to get guns from them. It wasn't possible for that. Let's say after that, after the first intifada, they started to have the delegations and Oslo and blah, 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 blah. The people accepted. You know why? Because people want to live in peace. People just get very bored from fights and blood every day. Every day, blood in the Palestinian streets. So they accept Oslo. Even so, it's not our dream. It's not what we were looking for, but we accept it. But when the Israelis just realized that we accept this, the Oslo, which is will not give us our rights, they said, okay, if they accept that, it means that's good for them. So why won't we give them less than this right? So they started to do a scenario for this intifada, which is started, this is the one we are living in. And I guess this scenario was, with the cooperation of the Palestinian leader, the Egyptian government, the Jordanian government, U.S. government, which is support Israel, and I guess they started to just give guns for the people without money to shoot at Israel, and they knew, the Israelis knew that. Before 3 hours and 4 hours shootings, they knew that after 3 hours we'll be shooting at this point, and they started to call the journalists, the TVs, all around the world. But they didn't call the journalists when they just attacked one of the Palestinian villages and started to kill, like Rafah, started to kill the kids, the people, started to just destroy the homes by the bulldozers without giving any permission for the journalists to watch this crime. And I guess now they canceled by the intifada Oslo, and they started with the roadmap, which is, it's nothing. It's like a prison for the Palestinians. The roadmap is our prison. We will live between walls. Every city will be separated from the other. And I guess people will be not free. We will not have a democracy country in this way. We just allowed to think how to eat, how to live, how to go on vacations, where we should go, and not thinking about our political future. Because if you will talk about politics, you will go to the prison. And there, just God knows what will happen with you.
Thanks for speaking us from Occupied Palestine. While we conduct this interview, the CIA is working with the Palestinian Authority, not just the Egyptians and not just the Jordanians and not just the Israelis, in order to conduct so-called reforms on the Authority, which will make just three possible security bodies for the Authority trained in repression tactics, and to make sure that the Palestinian people are not able to speak out anymore against their own government and against the governments that choose to dictate how they live their lives. Speaking to you from Occupied Palestine, I'm Kristen S.